Mr. Mal Miller. Whoa.
This is Global Patriot Radio.
Hey, welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the dawn of dissenting discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our calling number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by the no pork eating American lover, Al. Good evening, Al. How are you?
I'm doing great, Vito. Great to be here as always.
Well,
how are you?
I am doing well, thank you. Doing well. Just, you know, hanging out there and playing a little bit of golf and, you know, enjoying the weather up here in Little Falls, New York.
Yeah, a little warm weather. Get out in the sun. Life is good.
Living the dream. Thank you, Dictator Joe, for the $300 a week and the American taxpayer funding this relaxation and respite that's most desperately needed in a time when pandemic is running rampant through the United States. Are you wearing your mask? Did you wear your mask today?
No. And why work when you can sit on your ass?
Yeah,
that's
be
wonderful.
Dependent.
Thank you, Joe.
Suck off the Washington, D.C. teat. Thank you, taxpayers, for all of that money. Hey, in PGA News, speaking of money, Rory McIlroy ended his drought, his winless drought, by winning the Wells Fargo at Quail Hollow this past weekend. He won by one shot, came from behind, besting Mexico's Abraham Answer, and beat the overnight leader, America's Keith Mitchell, by two shots. After Mitchell shot a 1-over-72 round, kind of disappointed, and Mitchell didn't play as well. Another young stud, Victor Hovland, he finished two shots behind as well after shooting a 4-under-67. It was McIlroy's third win at the Wells Fargo Championship. What were you going to say? I'm sorry, I cut you off.
I was very disappointed. Answer didn't missed it. One shot, just missed it because I hate McIlroy. He's a real douche. I'm sorry. I got to say it.
Well,
you know why I hate him?
What?
He disrespected President Trump, said he wouldn't play golf with him. So and had some nasty comments to go with it. So screw you, McIlroy. Congratulations on the win and the skill level to get there. That's phenomenal. But as far as your personality and character, all I can say is you're a douchebag. Thank you very much.
Do you know he's been winless in 2.5 years since he made those comments against President Trump, and I know that another the Viking was taking great pleasure in watching McIlroy collapse tournament after tournament. So he almost did collapse though. He bogeyed the 18th hole, but he won by one shot.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, it was Mitchell that just I thought you know after birdie in the first hole, I thought he was going to be really solid, and all the freaking commentators were just absolutely falling over themselves with McIlroy. I mean, Mitchell had a 2-shot lead, and they were still going, "Oh, look how great McIlroy's playing." Well, then he ended up winning. So, but even Gartzogs agrees with you. What's that?
Now that's a first, and I am happy and I am honored.
Well,
I
did
like
something
that man,
right there.
And I like how he thinks. Tells me when I screw up, I respect that. I like the diggity dogs.
Hey, you know, that's it's. I think people realize it, and they just don't. You know, it's. He's going to have to do a lot, McIlroy, to kind of win back the American people, or a lot of us, and you know, love his talent, like you said. You can't knock that, but you know, he just what a douche.
Yeah, I mean, I heard that President Biden invited McIlroy to come over for a bowl of cream of wheat, and he said yes.
Send over that Irish boy. Send that Irish boy. Get that Irish boy over here. Maybe he can bring that little Japanese boy with him. You know,
yeah, well, very nice Japanese boy.
Yeah, you know, just yeah. Anyways, in amateur golf, if you guys anybody watches the Walker Cup and knows about amateur golf, the U.S. Retained and won the Walker Cup for the third time in a row. They beat Great Britain, Ireland. That's GB and I, 14-12 at the famed Seminole Golf Club in Juneau Beach, Florida, this past weekend. This is the third straight time the U.S. won the Walker Cup. With Nathaniel Crosby as the U.S. captain, it was a back-to-back victory, and it was the first time since 2007 that the United States that a coach won back-to-back. And Buddy Marucci, who now coaches, I think, at the University of Florida, but Buddy Marucci was a great amateur. He won the Walker Cup 2 years in a row, 2007 and 2009. Why I bring it up? Nathaniel Crosby is Bing Crosby's son. So it's really nice. You know, he's not left the golf industry. He's not get the golf field. And Nathaniel Crosby was a pretty good golfer in his own right. And it's really cool that the United States won again and got some studs on the U.S. team, and have to watch for those guys turning pro. And then if you watch I was watching the senior PGA as well. When I saw McIlroy in the lead, I switched it over, and Steve Stricker had a 4-shot lead at the Regions Championship, which is the first major for the seniors. And by the 14th hole, Steve Stricker lost his 4-shot lead and ended up 2 shots behind. Made a great birdie on 18 to tie Alex Cheka. And on the first playoff hole, Stricker had a 4-foot, 5-foot birdie putt to tie Cheka, and he missed it. After draining like a 12-footer uphill with a little bit of a break, just a clutch putt to get into the playoff. But you know what? Alex Cheka's first senior tour win, which it was a major, gets him a 5-year exemption into the regions, gets him into a couple of other tournaments. So it's good. Nice to see a newbie win. So if you had a chance to watch it, but that was up in the, you ever played the Robert Trent Jones course in Alabama. It was in Birmingham. It was part of the Robert Trent Jones Trail. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and as Dog said, athletes should keep their mouths shut. It's killing sports, and you're absolutely right. And you know what, Dogs? I have not watched a basketball game, an NBA basketball game, in probably 3 years. You know, they've done a tremendous disservice. And where they showed, the NBA showed their true colors was last year when they came to the defense of China, communist red China, and they disrespected the United States of America. That was it. You know, if it wasn't for the United States of America, these yahoos wouldn't be playing and earning or making millions of dollars a year, tens of millions of dollars a year. And they use the communist Chinese to make their goddamn shoes, make their shoes, their sneakers, and their products, where the Chinese are paying the Chinese people, what, $3, $4, $5 a day? And they have the audacity to dump on the United States of America? They have the audacity to dump on the very country that gave them the opportunity. And this whole ruse, this whole communist Marxist movement of Black Lives Matter is nothing but bullshit. When you have 80% or plus of the NBA being black, and they're talking about being oppressed, screw you. If it wasn't for the fans, if it wasn't for the white fans, if it wasn't for the American fans, you wouldn't be making millions of dollars a year to bounce a ball on a wooden floor, okay? A parquet floor. Just keep your mouth shut and play basketball. Oh, well, we read a lot. Oh, you read a lot. So you disrespect the very country that's given you an opportunity, and you get in bed with communist red China who pays their people $3 a day to make your Nike sneakers. You ungrateful SOB. I'm sorry. That's, you know what? I'm done too with the NBA. You know, sports. We all love sports. Many, I'm sure everybody in the chat room, on the podcast, me and Al, we love sports. But by God, keep your mouth shut. Okay. You know, the United States of America is not a racist nation. We are a forgiving nation, but this Marxist movement has done nothing but metastasize. It's a cancer. And these athletes are so ungrateful.
Well, they're dividing us by race. They're doing the bidding of the Marxists, and they don't even realize what the hell they're doing. The Marxists have them so fooled, they think they're doing something, for racial integrity, racial plurality, peace and love. Oh. But really, they're just dividing the people, using race as the wedge issue to divide us. And who's the big winner? The Marxists. And they have a revolutionary timetable that's hundreds of years long. And they will wait and bid their time until unrest rules the world. And they will take it over. And that's their objective, revolution, worldwide revolution. And these assholes are helping them do it, and they don't even realize it. That's the sad part.
That is the sad part of it. They're not educated. They're dumb. And they're being used. They're useful idiots. And speaking of useful idiots, Dictator Joe's jobs report came out, and the U.S. added an anemic 266,000 jobs in April. And it was so bad that even a CNBC economist, an analyst, was taken aback when he thought that the numbers were transposed. He goes, this is going to be a mistake. You know, they were expecting over 800,000 jobs to being created, and a dismal 266,000 jobs, the numbers came in, was far below what the economists expected. And President Dummy tried to spin the anemic numbers by stating the U.S. is still digging out of an economic collapse, but right on track. So the U.S. is right on track, continuing to instill fear into the American people, continuing to keep American businesses shut down, and the piece de resistance is continuing to pay Americans to sit at home, the disincentive to work. Government paying Americans an additional $300 a week in unemployment benefits, and the Marxists, the communists, incentivizing malaise and government dependency. And it's a communist wet dream. You know, you shut down the American economy, you confuse and scare the American people, and provide a disincentive to work by funding laziness, funding government dependency. And this is why Dictator Joe Biden was installed. President Dummy with yet another lackluster jobs report. The institution in Washington, D.C. is ensuring they undo all that President Trump did in restoring American pride and the American economy. Give a person a job, self-worth, instill pride, instill self-respect. All torn down by the communist movement and Dictator Joe Biden being installed to further the economic decline in America. He's a lifelong failed politician who believes government is the answer and has contempt and disdain for capitalism and the free enterprise system. The Chinese virus pandemic is still the excuse for killing a robust economy, for creating jobs and building a bigger and better America. America is now led by a feckless fraud, a big government global communist. You didn't build that. You did. Government will destroy it. Dictator Joe Biden, communist Kamala will destroy it. And by the way, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is right along with the global communist movement. A measly 266,000 jobs created when it was expected to be over 800,000. The unemployment rate, it ticked up to 6.1%. Oh, and again, I'm sure that's a fictitious number as well. But this is no surprise, given dictator Joe Biden killed over 33,000 jobs by unilaterally nixing the Keystone Pipeline. And already, the Green New Deal is a disaster, just like dictator Joe is, an economic free enterprise disaster. And to show how out of touch dictator Joe Biden is, he stated, there is no evidence that people are staying at home by receiving the additional $300 a week government handout. I talk to employers in our community, in and around my community. I drive around the community. There are help wanted signs all around. The service industry is begging for people to come. Even McDonald's in some places was paying a $500 bonus if you come and work for them. The government killed the service industry and went into full welfare mode, and now President Dummy is lying to the American people. But that's who dictator Joe Biden is. He's a liar and he's a plagiarizer, and it should be no surprise. But American people will suffer. Higher gas prices in the name of greenness, higher grocery prices, higher cost of doing business, all a communist wet dream. Oh, hey, but you could rest assured and you could sleep easier to know that the government did add 43,000 new jobs. Yes, the U.S. government added 43,000 new jobs, and that should give us all a warm and fuzzy. Taxpayers funding more government jobs, communists loading government. And there you have it, Al. You've got President Dictator Joe and killing free enterprise. He's killing capitalism. And he's installing all he can do to further the communist movement right here in America. You know, the global communist movement, along with Janet Yellen.
Well, absolutely, and they have no idea about human nature. It doesn't register with them. When you're giving workers money, you're distributing wealth from the taxpayers to people who are working to the amount where you make more sitting home on your ass than working. Well, these people aren't stupid. Who's going to work when they can sit at home and make the same amount of money, literally tax-free, because you don't have to pay taxes on it. It's not going to get taken out of your check because you already got the cash. Only right. A fool would go back to work, busting tables, busting your ass, 8 hours a day till your feet hurt. You come home tired, you go home and sleep, and then you do it all again. Why go through that? Government gives you the money. It's net, and they scratch their head like what's happening? Why are these numbers so low? And then they try to make up some kind of Marxist lie. Well, nobody's buying it.
Well,
I'm not
unfortunately,
buying what they're selling.
You ain't buying what they're selling, but unfortunately, in what's labeled the blue states, you know, they are doing a great job in killing the free enterprise system and killing business. And, you know, they want to make sure that businesses, you know, don't open or, hey, get your vaccine, okay? Did you see that they had Vax Live or something like that? My wife pointed out to me over the weekend. They were having a fundraiser. They raised over $302 million for this Vax Live, you know, like what was it, like a We Are the World campaign. I don't know what the money's going to go to. I don't know, you know, if does it go to the disenfranchised. I mean, who knows? Anyways, there was a fundraiser, Vax Live. So get the vaccine, but you still have to wear your mask. Get the vaccine. You don't wear your mask. Get the vaccine, and you'll be able to have a 4th of July party, but don't, now you can't congregate. You know, so all of these mixed messages, when they start seeing the opportunity arising and the country opening, like what's happening in Texas and in Florida and South Dakota, right away the government pushes back because it's positive news. You know, Governor Whitless up in Michigan, you know, the rise. Now remember, she has shut down her state. Okay, here's a blue state that's still shut down pretty much. You know, has people on pins and needles, and she's blaming the Michiganians for going to Florida on vacation, coming back, and bringing the Chinese virus with them. That's absolute and utter horseshit, okay? It's absolutely a lie. But these are the left-wingers. These are the blue state champions who are ruining their states. And as long as they continue to keep their people, you know, in fear and keep them in squalor, okay, they're going to have a situation where their state's not going to open up. There's going to be more excuses. They're going to find ways to keep people indentured to the government, and then they're going to pander to them. In the meantime, you have states like Florida, Texas, Tennessee, South Dakota, all opening up, and they're doing quite well. And Governor DeSantis in Florida, this guy is not pulling any punches. He's pulling no vaccine passport nonsense. I guess there was a cruise line in Florida, who sails out of Florida, who said if passengers don't show their vaccine passport, they're not going to be able to get on. So he goes, well, you can leave. We'll get another cruise line in there who will take your place and not have these draconian communist edicts. So you know, DeSantis has it right. He sees through this charade. He sees through the facade. This whole Chinese virus was a pandemic, and it was meant to stop Trump. And you know what? As long as you have governors who can stand up to the communist dictator Joe Biden, you know, it's all for the better. And unfortunately, you know, you still got these blue states who are scaring the bejesus out of the people. I love what DeSantis did.
Yep.
I love the fact that he said no vaccine passports in our state. That's just beautiful.
They're looking at him. They're looking at him possible presidential run 2024.
Well, I think he would be a good choice.
Do you know he was a Navy SEAL, SEAL Team 1?
Yes, I did. I did. And he also was wasn't he a JAG as well?
Yep. Mm-hmm. A lawyer who can kick ass. I didn't know he was SEAL Team 1. That's pretty amazing. Put Ben Crenshaw to shame with his conservative credentials. So, yeah, I like DeSantis. He is a leader.
Yes.
God, I wish we lived in Florida. Maybe I'll move to Florida.
And I'll tell you what, I agree too, because he signed in that SB 90, and right away Hillary Rotten Clinton went to Twitter, you know, talking about the voter suppression now in Florida, which is absolutely a lie. It's a flat out lie. I don't want to get sidetracked on what we're going to talk about, but SB 90, I pulled up the bill just because Hillary Rotten Clinton sent a tweet out about voter suppression now in Florida, and she's nothing but a liar. But Democrats and lying go hand in hand. And I urge you, the bill is 48 pages. Read it. Read it for yourself. Don't take it from me. But look at page 32. Turn to page 42 of 48, and you'll see there is nothing in that bill that causes voter suppression. Okay? All of this noise about prohibiting water and food from being distributed, you know, at voting lines, you know, that's another piece of nonsense. It's absolute, utter garbage, okay? Now, there are rules and regulations that have existed for the last 100 years, and that is, in most places, you can't come within 50 feet of the door, okay, into the polling place wearing a partisan shirt, a partisan political shirt, okay? So if you're Representative Smith, you know, vote for John Smith for the United States Senate, and you're wearing a shirt and you walk up to the polling door, the poller at that precinct will tell you that you have to cover the shirt. That's been in place for 100 years, okay? So the only thing that Georgia and Florida want, they stipulated very clearly, if you are a candidate running for office, you can't hand out bottled water. But the supervisor of election can distribute fluids, liquid, drinks, okay, bottled water, soda, whatever it was, whatever the discretion was. It's bottled water, let's just say. Yeah, the supervisor of election can. So all this noise about voter suppression, page 42, ballot boxes, okay? So now keep in mind that in the United States of America today, we have pussies voting, okay? We are going to make it so easy for you to vote that soon you won't have to get up off of your ass to go down to a polling place to vote. You'll be able to call up. Matter of fact, they'll probably have Uber voting, where an Uber driver will come to your door, they'll bring you your ballot, and you would vote, and then you sign and you go sit down, because you can't be bothered to be online, okay? You can't be bothered to exercise your constitutional duty to vote. So, on page 42, it says the ballot boxes. There are 67 counties in the state of Florida. The supervisor of election must, within 30 days, be transparent and publish where the voter ballot boxes are located. And it further says, it doesn't restrict you from dropping your absentee ballot, your mail-in ballot, your vote by mail. It doesn't prohibit you from going to that ballot box and depositing it. It stipulates that the supervisor of election must employ an individual to monitor and to be in attendance at that ballot box while it is open. And when that person leaves, they must take all of the ballots that were deposited in that ballot box and bring them back to the supervisor of election. There cannot be an unmanned ballot box. I don't know how that is suppression of voting. Also, what's being claimed to be suppression in voting is if you call up for an absentee ballot and you say, mail my ballot to 123 Main Street, but the supervisor of election has your address as 456 First Street, the supervisor of election immediately asks for a reason why it's going to 123 Main Street and to show proof of residency, because the Department of Motor Vehicle in Florida and the supervisor of elections in those counties will work together to cross-reference your addresses, because your driver's license would have the address where you're domiciled. So you've got to show proof as to why a ballot would be sent to a different address. That's called voter integrity. It's called protecting voter fraud. Now, to use the word fraud with the Democrat Party is correct, but to use integrity with Democrat in the same sentence is wrong, because there is no integrity in the Democrat Party. Because if they were looking for voter integrity, the Democrat Party would not be raising Cain over this practical part of the legislation. This whole thing about trying to, you know, the Democrats use all these buzzwords to try to sell you, condition you, that they believe in voter integrity. They believe in fighting and combating voter fraud. But the biggest frauds and the lack of integrity is with the Democrat Party. They don't want anything that will tighten and secure your right to vote. In the state of Florida, if you call up for a ballot to vote absentee, you will get one. You're not going to be sent one willy-nilly by the state of Florida. You will have to request it. And guess what? It's exactly what has been done for the last 50, 60, 70 years in the state of Florida. So let's just cut the noise out, okay? Hillary Rotten Clinton is a liar. She's instilling fear into the hearts of Floridians and the American people, into conditioning you and me to think that the state of Florida now is restricting and suppressing your right to vote. And that is a flat-out lie. The Democrat Party is lying. They lied about Georgia. They're lying about Florida. It's 48 pages. It'll take you 45 minutes to an hour to read the bill, if that much. I don't know what your pace is to read. You can read the bill. You can go back and reread it. It's very, very simple. Don't take my word for it. Read Senate Bill 90 that Governor DeSantis just signed.
Well, looky here, comrade. I think you're wrong, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
Comrade, I'll tell you why. Because one person, one vote, and ballots should be sent to everybody on the voting list. Because one person, one vote, and if you don't believe that, and then all those ballots should go out to everybody, and then they can send them in because one person, one vote. And if you don't believe in one person, one vote, first off, what could possibly go wrong? And two, you should believe in one person, one vote because you're an American. And if you don't love America, then you don't believe in one person, one vote. So all of these ballots should go to everybody, and then everybody can vote. That's why it's voter suppression. You evil conservative.
Oh yeah, you know, imagine someone taking responsibility and for their right to vote. Imagine someone taking their responsibility, exercising their civic duty. Did you know that the first Tuesday following the first Monday in November is Election Day? I mean, I asked my grandmother, you know, who's been voting since 1920, okay, about that, and she knew exactly when Election Day was or is. You know, it's no mystery. And so the left wing, who wants to portray everything as being suppressive, okay, wants to sell the idea that you can't go out and vote. You know, they ask for an ID, you can't vote. In the state of Georgia, if you don't have a Georgia ID of some sort, that would either be a driver's license or a Georgia issued ID, you can show them a utility bill. You can show them some sort of utility bill, whether it's your cable or electric bill. That's how oppressive the Georgia Voter Rights Act is. Imagine that. And besides that, if you can't make or take the responsibility one time every 2 years, one time in November, well, twice if you vote in the primary, two times a year, twice. Is that all they're asking is for two times every 2 years to take what's called responsibility? Well, you know, you're not a child anymore. Get off your ass and vote. If you don't want to take the time to vote, then don't vote. Stop pissing and moaning. This whole voter suppression, voter fraud, it's all contrived by the Democrat Party. They want to make everything into a human rights issue, and it's bullshit. Okay?
You're a hater. I can't believe you don't want your great grandmother to vote. You know what that DeSantis is doing? Me and my friends, we went to every old age home, every old age community, and we did a public service, Mr. Vito. We went and we got all these old people who couldn't leave. They were probably 80 plus, maybe somewhere 100, 120, but that didn't matter. We gave them the right to vote. We went in and we balloted harvests all over those communities. We gave people the right to vote who couldn't vote. We were doing a community service, and you don't like old people? You don't even like your grandmother. You don't want her to vote. What's your problem?
My grandmother can vote. Cool. I have her voting early and voting often.
Yeah. So. Well, I can't ballot harvesting anymore because of that DeSantis.
Yeah, imagine that. If you show up with more than two ballots, you're going to be fined. And rightly so. You shouldn't have any more than two ballots. Minnesota was three, okay? Yep. And they were pitching fit about that. It's been three for the last 25, 30 years, 40 years in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know. They honestly know how corrupt individuals will be when it comes to voting and voter fraud. I mean,
yeah, and that ballot harvesting was nasty business, let me tell you.
It certainly is.
Very nasty, ripe with fraud. It made a mockery of our judicial system. And once that goes, then it's horrible. I mean, look at Arizona right now with this audit. This audit, all of these problems are starting to surface. And who's trying to stop the audit in Arizona?
The Democrat Party.
Democrats.
Yep.
They even brought in President Biden even brought in the DOJ to try and stop this audit. And then it ends up now there's audits popping up in New Hampshire and some other states as well. So this is capturing some steam. Now, you're not hearing about it in the press because they're spiking all of these stories because it scares them half to death because it'll expose their fraud.
Sure.
You know, the Democrat Communist Party doesn't want this to get out. And it's nothing but fraud on the part of the Democrat Party because they know that Maricopa County was indeed sorted, and they can't afford for the truth to be out there. So the Democrat Communist Party put, 73 lawyers involved in there to shut down the auditing? 73. You know, isn't it funny how the Democrat Party loves to talk about, oh, every vote should count. Your vote counts. And then when they find some improprieties, it's like, oh, let's stop the presses. We can't have this. We can't have this exposed. And we don't want to be shown as liars and frauds. And we actually did usurp your voting right. But we can't have that, you know, exposed out there. And of course, you know, everybody believes that Dementia Joe won. Yeah. Uh-huh. Sure. Yeah. Guy can't even speak in complete sentences.
Well, he's sure doing a hell of a lot of damage.
He certainly is. Well, I think they have the Obama people in it. It's Obama's third term. Every one of the people that are surrounding him are all part of, you know, the communist Obama, the anti-American Obama. But hey, 48 pages, read Senate Bill 90 for yourself. And by the way, the one thing about the state of Florida I looked further into, in all counties, in all 67 counties, they have the same rule. Okay, so, and it's important because In the panhandle of Florida, there's a 1 hour difference. Okay, they're 1 hour behind. They're on the central time zone. So in all 67 counties in the state of Florida, the rule is very simple. If you vote by mail, if you vote absentee, your ballot has to be received by the supervisor of election by 7 p.m. on election day. You can hand deliver your ballot. You can go down to your supervisor of election and hand deliver it. There will be people outside. There'll be a ballot. There'll be a box waiting. As long as your ballot is in by 7 p.m. on election day, your vote will count. Now, if you take the responsibility to vote absentee, there are consequences for that. That means there are rules, okay? And I looked. And I started, I went through 20 counties, I went through 25, I went through 34, I went through all 67, and then I went to the Secretary of State for the state of Florida, and it's all the same. And it's like, if you can't take the responsibility to do something twice every 2 years, okay, to vote, if you vote absentee, it's really simple. Just follow the rules. And what's furthermore, the respective supervisor of election in each county will tell you that your ballot needs to be postmarked by such and such a date in order to get there by election day. I mean, and you don't even have to pay for it, by the way. You don't even pay for your absentee ballot to mail it. The county picks up the tab. It's like, how much more easy do you want it? And now in the state of Florida, they have a 12-day or 10-day early voting. I mean, how much easier do they have to make this? Do you want someone to come to your door? I mean, the people in Iraq are dying to vote. And you're telling us that there's voter suppression, that you can't take time to just 2 days, 2 days, okay? 2 days a year, every 2 years, just take the responsibility to vote. I mean, you know what? Liberalism is a mental disorder. It has absolutely dumbed America down. It has made people lazy, and it's destructive. And it's unbelievable. Bigfoot posted an article from American Thinker in the chat room, and urge you to read it. It's new census data raised serious questions about 2020 election fraud. It's by Thomas Lifson. So, you know, hey, as long as they committed fraud and they got Trump out and they installed, you know, dictator Joe Biden and communist Kamala, there's nothing you could do for at least 2 years, because there's nobody in Washington, D.C. that will have the balls to remove these two frauds and actually declare, you know, the rightful winner of the 2020 election. So, yep, that's one of those conspiracy theorists. I'm sorry. But read it, you know, bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Great Blogspot. He's had some great stories in there this week. Really, really loved it. So I kind of got consumed. A matter of fact, town hall on Thursday, if you go to bigfootsplace.blogspot.com, there's an article that the title is "The Left Goes Nuts Over New Election Law Signed by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis." And that's what got me turned on to the story. When I read that headline, I went in and read it and looked further into the bill itself. So the bill is 48 pages, very easy to follow. And you'll find that there is no voter suppression in the state of Florida. The Democrat Communist Party are liars. They're lying to you and me. They are still instilling fear, and the drop box balloting are available, and the supervisor of elections in every county in the state of Florida has to publish 30 days prior to the election where those drop box ballot boxes are. There's no voter suppression. Just like Georgia, there's no voter suppression. So, oh, God almighty, I tell you, the dumbing down of America.
Well, we got a shooting war in the Middle East since we last spoke.
Oh, yeah? What was
150
that?
Rockets fired from Gaza towards Israel since 6 p.m. today.
Today?
Today.
I did see where Israel
retaliated. Everybody's waking up. Mm-hmm.
I did see where Israel did retaliate and fired back into Gaza where they were launching the missiles. Is that correct?
Yep, killed three Hamas leaders in the process. Three and 1,000 more to go.
So one of the articles from The Guardian says tensions between Israel and the Palestinians escalating dramatically on Monday as militant groups in Gaza fired rockets into Israel, and Israel responded with strikes on the Palestinian coastal territory following a police raid on the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem that left hundreds injured. The rocket attacks were launched just minutes after the passing of a Hamas-issued ultimatum for Israel to withdraw security forces from both Jerusalem compound that is home of the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the old city Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood. Now, you've been to both of those places, haven't you?
Yes, I have. In fact, I was there last year at the same time. So let me give you a little three paragraphs of what's going on out there that Barry Shaw put this into very succinct, and he says, you can see the hand of the Israel haters working in the Biden White House, including Karine Jean-Pierre, the deputy White House press secretary, who must have written the text for Jen Psaki falsely, quoting evictions of Palestinians from their homes in Sheikh Jarrah, which is supposedly the flashpoint for all of this violence. First, they are not their homes. They are Jewish homes that they entered and squatted there rent-free for decades. Second, the neighborhood was called Shimon HaZadik after a revered Jewish sage who once welcomed Alexander the Great to Israel. It is the site of his burial place, and the neighborhood was developed by the Jewish agency of Chaim Weizmann over a century ago today. That's 100 years. The Jews were driven out of their homes in 1949 by the Arabs and the Jordanian army. The Arabs facing eviction have been living there illegally for decades. That is the truth of the matter that you will not hear in the mainstream press. And out of that, all this violence is starting up again because Hamas lives for violence, hate, fear, and torture. And if they're not torturing their own people, they're killing Jews.
As long as Hamas is involved in Israel and with the Palestinian areas, there will be no peace. Hamas does not want peace. And you know why? That's why, you know, President Trump and Jared Kushner, once they gave the Palestinians an ultimatum and they refused to come to the table, he went around them. And of course, the Abraham Accord was born. And so, you know, President Trump saw that Hamas is a cancer. Hamas is hate. Hamas are nothing but terrorists who live by the word of Allah. And so they don't want peace. And as long as Hamas didn't want peace, it wasn't fair to the Israelis, who all they want to do is just live in peace. And, you know, all this noise about being apartheid, you know, by Rashida Mother Effort Tlaib, you know, with her squawking and her incendiary remarks, her vile and her vitriol, you know, I think Israel is really inclusive. You've got Arabs who sit in the Knesset. You have Arabs who make up a coalition in the Knesset. You've got Arabs that sit on the court system in Israel. Isn't that correct?
Yeah.
So much for being an apartheid state, right?
No, so all of these Palestinians that you see in the news that are chanting and protesting over at the Damascus Gate, if you go across the street from the Damascus Gate, which is in Jerusalem, is that Arab village. I've walked through there. And the majority of those Palestinians, they work in Israel. Their kids go to school at Israeli universities by day. They get paid a lot more by the Israelis than they do their Muslim brothers and sisters. But they do all that, and then they go to Israeli hospitals for their medical care. Everything is good for them, so they take advantage of everything Israel has to offer. Israel welcomes them with open arms. Israel allows them, like you said, in the Knesset, to be part of the policymaking arm of the country. That is not an apartheid state. That is an inclusive state. But you don't hear that from anybody, except
here. No. And you know, that's really the falsehood of this whole thing. You know, that pig, Rashida Mother Effort Tlaib, another anti-Semite along with incestuous Ilhan Omar, you know, they are the cancer of the Democrat Party, but they're also beloved by Nancy Pelosi. And it's really sad, the disinformation and the misinformation that they both spew to the American people, to the public. And in fact, if this is a holy time for Muslims, why are they engaged in such violence? You know, we're sold a bill of goods here in the United States and in the West. It's like, you can't do that. It's during Ramadan. It's Muslims' holy time. Well, if it's Muslims' holy time, then why are they engaged in violence against the Jews, huh? As a matter of fact, if you left the Jews alone, okay, they not only would they embrace you, they would give you the shirts off their backs, but you don't want the shirts off of the Jewish people's backs because you're sold and you're indoctrinated with nothing but hate. And it's really sad what we're seeing occurring over there. And you said 130 missiles and rockets were fired into Israel already today?
Mm-hmm.
God almighty.
Yeah.
It's really sad.
What we're seeing is the Palestinians feeling emboldened now with this new President Biden and his Jew haters that he has brought into policy-making decisions. He himself backing Iran over Israel because before President Trump left office, he built the Abraham Accords. The Abraham Accords are when the United Arab, the UAE, Bahrain, and two other Arab countries signed a pact with Israel that they would have a cold peace. They would work together. And what that did is that isolated the Palestinians. The Arabs are going against the Palestinians and being an agent against peace. And then once President Biden was elected into office, first thing he did is he started talking with the Iranians, this JCPOA that President Trump got rid of. Biden is now sending billions of dollars to the Iranians, and that is causing fractions. It is causing trouble throughout the Middle East, and this is just a taste of what's coming. And these Arab countries, of course, are backing their Arab brothers, and this Abraham Accord is falling apart every single day. I mean, who would have ever thought that the Israelis and the Arabs would be signing a joint agreement, not a peace agreement, but just any type of agreement that they would work together? Four of them. I would say hell would have froze over first.
Are you saying now? I'm not putting words in your mouth, so just correct me if I'm wrong. Now, are you saying that with the instability that we're seeing, this is actually wanted by the dictator Joe Biden anti-Semitic administration? They're enjoying this issue between the Palestinians and the Jews.
Well, yeah, because what happened is that there's a big rift between the Sunni Arabs and the Shia Arabs. These are two sects that have been warring with each other and murdering and torturing each other for 1,400 years. Well, the UAE, Bahrain, those countries that formed a pact with Israel are Sunni. They are deathly afraid of the Iranians getting a nuclear bomb, basically, and waging war against them to take over Mecca and Medina, including Saudi Arabia. They're all scared to death of the mullahs in Iran. So a bloc was formed, the Sunnis versus the Shia. And the Sunnis were using the Israelis as their muscle to keep the Iranians in check with the Americans. And it was working out really well. It was brilliant. But now that has been thrown aside, and now we are seeing the Palestinians and the Iranians working together to cause unrest and to break up that alliance between the Sunnis and the Israelis. And then that's going to weaken the Sunnis, it's going to weaken the Arab countries around Israel, and it's going to make it riper down the road for the Iranians to attack the Sunnis and maybe one day achieve their goal of taking over Mecca and Medina, controlling the two most holy sites in all of Islam.
But there is one card that hasn't been played, and that's the Viking card.
Ooh.
And good evening to the Viking. Welcome, Holger.
Holger, how are you?
That's the IDF warning sound for Gaza.
Salam aleichem, my brother.
You know, this is just anything with Israel gets me incensed. And, it seems to me that 4 years of Trump, things were pretty damn quiet in the Middle East. You know, maybe I missed that, but things were pretty quiet for 4 years mm-hmm. under Donald Trump. And what are we, 150 days into Joe Biden?
If that much.
And we've got, mm-hmm. and we've got, you know, we're back to, the, you know, a tinderbox. And, you know, I like what Al put together, you know, about with the Iranians and Hamas and all that, you know, doing all this to destroy, you know, basically what Trump had put in place. But I'm telling you right now, let me ask you guys this question. Would you agree with this statement that the Biden administration is basically the third term of the Obama administration?
Yes. You get no qualms from me. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, let me read this headline from an article in 2016. It says, Obama administration sent taxpayer money to campaign to oust Netanyahu.
Yep.
Okay.
Remember that?
So that was discovered, a congressional investigation found out that the State Department sent $350,000 of your money, Al, your money, Beto, my money, went to a group that backed the opposition to Netanyahu. And so obviously we've seen Joe Biden basically do everything in his first 100 to 150 days, whatever, feels like 20 frickin' years right now, but everything he's done has been to absolutely reverse everything that Trump did, everything. And this is no question. So I am willing to bet, and I'm not a betting guy, but I'm willing to bet that this isn't just Iran and Hamas involved in this little conspiracy thing to get this all brought to the forefront. I'm saying that the Biden administration is involved in this. They coordinated this whole unrest at the Temple Mount. By the way, I'm not sure if you saw it, but the news just broke that Hamas gave Israel an ultimatum that all Israeli forces have to be out of the Temple Mount by 2 a.m. And so now Hamas is making, you know, threats and ultimatums and so forth. But at the same time, I haven't seen a single headline from the Biden administration. Have you guys seen anything where Joe Biden has come out to condemn these rocket attacks?
No.
No.
No. I haven't. No. No, he's a fraud.
The point being is this, is a vote for Joe Biden was a vote against Israel. A vote for Joe Biden was to blow up the Middle East again. A vote for Joe Biden was to arm the Iranians with nuclear weapons. And I am convinced that this whole thing was set up by our State Department in unison with the Iranians, in unison with Hamas, and I'm guessing that Hezbollah is probably involved in it too, because they're going to be the backup thing. And that's the reality of it. I mean, what better time to blow up Israel and the whole Middle East than right now, when obviously the Israelis are struggling with not a government in place? I mean, the timing is absolutely reeks on this thing.
And isn't it ironic that the timing of this, you talk about, you've got the blowhard Tlaib talking about apartheid and Israeli apartheid, and it was the Arab coalition it was the Arab coalition that sided with the liberal portion, the labor portion, that did not give Netanyahu the majority. So, you know, all of this noise about Israel being an apartheid state, the Arabs actually had a voice in this past consensus after this last vote. But nobody talks about that. And, of course, you've got dictator Joe Biden, who was part of the Obama regime. It was the Obama-Biden regime. He's actually helped destabilize the situation in Israel. And, of course, taking sides with the Palestinians. Because didn't he just dump some money to the Palestinians not too long ago? Money that President Trump had said he was not going to give. And, of course, you've got the frail old fraud, you know, bending over and sending, you know, money to Hamas. I'm sorry, to the Palestinians.
Well, let me read you a quick tweet. It says, Israeli airstrikes killing civilians in Gaza is an act of terrorism. Palestinians deserve protection. Unlike Israel, missile defense programs such as Iron Dome don't exist to protect Palestinian civilians. It's unconscionable to not condemn these attacks on the week of Eid.
Isn't it unconscionable to be firing missiles and rockets into Israel? I mean, it was an unprovoked attack by the Palestinians launched an unprovoked attack into Israel. So it's a one-way street. It's okay to launch missiles and rockets into Israel, but Israel can't defend herself. okay? This is what's really something about lying Islamists, okay? They're nothing but terrorists. And, of course, in the White House, you've got Hamas Care sitting in the White House pulling the strings of one dictator, Joe Biden. And, again, it's a one-way street in Israel. Israel can't defend herself. They have to accept 130 rockets and missiles that are fired into their land unprovoked. And so when Israel fires back and decide that they are not going to take it anymore, suddenly they can't defend themselves? Fuck you.
Well, I didn't mention that the tweet I just read.
Yeah? Sorry.
Actually came from a member of the House of Representatives of the United States of America.
Oh, wow. Let's see. Who could that be? What obnoxious blowhard could it have been?
Well, she's close to home here.
Okay.
That was our friend, Ilhan Omar.
Oh, that's the one who married her brother, who defrauded the American government and married her brother, incestuous Ilhan Omar, the anti-Semite. It's all about the Benjamins, baby. Oh, yeah, right. Then she was banging some guy who was married. Oh, yeah, she was funneling, what, $2 million into her husband's business and campaign finance, broke campaign finance laws. Oh, yeah, that anti-American. Got it.
Yeah. Well, you'll rest easy, gentlemen, because President Biden tweeted 48 minutes ago,
ooh,
the American Rescue Plan is getting us back on track, but we need to go further. We need the American Jobs Plan.
Oh, Jesus.
Thank you, President Biden. Oh, the Middle East is on fire, you dope.
Oh, God. You know, he's tweeting about, spending more money, and Kamala Harris is in the next office going, I can't even find Mexico on this map. You know, I'm supposed to be in charge of the border, but, you know, are they talking here or here, you know? And we've got basically, you know, the world ready to disintegrate in the Middle East.
But she's going to talk to the president of Mexico, and they're going to talk about planting trees. We're going to talk about planting trees because it's so green. I mean, we have people coming over to border, but if we plant more trees, people won't come because it'll just be beautiful. Oh my God, this is the biggest ruse perpetrated on the American people. And you know, there was peace, and there were adults that were leading this peace, and now we've got nothing but these freaking, you know, Marxists who are disrupting the entire chain in the world. Whether that the tinder box is in the Middle East, or it's at the border in the United States, or it's Iran, or it's Yemen. I mean, they're blowing up the entire world. It's incredible. They are one destructive individuals.
What was the term? You know, what, maybe Al will know this. What was the term that when the PLO and or Hamas would always generate all this fake propaganda, movies and pictures and stuff. Did they call it Pallywood or Pollywood? You know, like a takeoff on Hollywood. It was all staged. You know, they would stage these, you know, pictures of an ambulance arriving with all these dead people and stuff.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, they dig up dead bodies. Yeah, they dig it up, and then the foreign press is always there, and they would stage events with dead people, and then other news agencies would film outside of the point, out of the view of where they were focusing, and then all these dead bodies, people are moving because everything is staged, because it's all propaganda. Yeah, it's disgusting.
Well, they've got on Twitter now, they've got this photo of a guy looking at he's in the morgue in Gaza, and they pulled out two of the racks out of one of the things, and there's three children under 10 there. So it says Israelis are killing children under 10. So it shows three dead 10-year-olds, you know, in the...
Yeah.
And you know, I'm sure as soon as the, you know, photo was taken, they, you know, they gave them the candy that they, you know, promised them and they went away to go play and stuff. But, you know, I'll tell you what. I mean, this is just the people from Gaza. I just read in another tweet here. It's from Sarah Hassan, okay, who's from Gaza or supposedly from Gaza. But she says, Ilhan Omar, we have no leg to stand if we can't defend Palestinians. The princess Ilhan Omar just spoke about us. I love you from my heart, Ilhan Omar. Greetings from Gaza.
Oh, my God. Again, you know, the propaganda. It's a one-way street.
Yeah.
They could fire 150 rockets and missiles into Israel, but Israel is not allowed to defend themselves. When Israelis are being killed and maimed and injured, it's okay because it's Israel, but Israel has to sit there and take it. And they don't have to take it from the pieces of shit. It's time that they just fight right back.
Yeah.
And the Babylon Bee reports that Ilhan Omar blasts Israel for refusing Palestinians' generous gift of rockets. No, that's humor. That's a joke. So,
yeah.
Anyway. Well, thanks for letting me call in. I'm just saying this is absolutely too fishy to ignore.
Yeah.
That this is the timing of this is too, it absolutely destroys everything Trump was working on. It destroys for us to open, negotiations back up with the Iranians. This is, where is the media? Where's the media coming out and saying, okay, look what's going on in Israel right now. And what's the connection to the fact that we've opened up dialogue again with the Iranians and we started to lift sanctions on the Iranians? Where's the media to point out that the minute that Joe Biden decided to open up communications again with the mullahs, that all of a sudden we've got the world at risk again because of the Middle East?
Right.
Well, you probably want to comment on the warship that sees thousands of Chinese Russian weapons bound for the Houthis. Sent from Iran. Did you see that story?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, we'll get into that a little bit. And then U.S. warships fired 30 shots, warning shots, against Iranian ships that were 13 of them that were buzzing our aircraft.
And that shows you the brilliance of foreign policy under the Biden administration is, okay, let's get back to the tables and talk again about, re-inking the deal to give these guys nuclear weapons while we have to frickin' fight off their ragtag Navy with warning shots. Those are the kind of people I want to sit down with and start renegotiations with, or people that are harassing our Navy to the point where we've got to shoot at the bastards.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because our Navy just released videos. Like I said, Iranian attack boats threatened six U.S. warships before they, meaning us, fired 30 warning shots. So even if you could care less about Israel, now you've got Iranian attack boats threatening our warships to the point that we had to fire 30 warning shots against these bastards.
Yeah, so here's the point. The Iranians go after our naval ships, and the Biden response is, we should sit down and talk about lifting sanctions on these guys. I'm at a loss here. I mean,
you're at a loss. What do you mean?
I've got a friend in Arizona. Her favorite phrase is three words: we are doomed. it's just this. We've got a man. And I love the cream of wheat comparison, by the way, Al. I mean, we've got a guy who somebody has to stand by to wipe the cream of wheat off of his chin who's in charge of settling, keeping the Middle East peaceful, keeping nuclear weapons out of the hands of the Iranians. I mean, this is beyond me. I mean, it's just anyway. This is going to be a bloody mess, and it's almost like the State Department, in my view, this is like cancel culture, Middle East version, okay? Because what they're going to try and do, I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to cancel the Israelis out of the Temple Mount and the Al-Aqsa Temple and all that bull crap mosque.
Which they stole.
You know, they're basically trying to say that deserves to be in the Palestinians' hands completely, and the Israelis shouldn't even be allowed in there. That's why Hamas issued the ultimatum. Is they want the world to come down and say, well, no, this is their area. There shouldn't be any Israeli troops or police or security forces at all in that area.
Yep.
You wait and see. That's going to be the social media buzzword is going to be get the Israelis out of that area.
And then peace will run rampant in the Middle East.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Hamas proved that they don't want peace. They had an opportunity. They had an administration that would work with them. You had Donald Trump. President Trump wanted to work with them. They refused to work with them. They refused peace. And all President Trump did was leave them behind. And suddenly look at the peace that was forged. Six Arab nations joined the Abraham Accord. Boom, just like that. And now you've got this feckless fraud dictator Joe Biden just blew everything up again. I mean, I'm sorry. Barack Hussein Sator Obama blew everything up once again.
Yeah.
Well,
If I was Prime Minister of Israel, there wouldn't be a Hamas commander alive by next morning. I mean, any Hamas guy with any managerial, you know, responsibility above, you know, washing out, you know, the foot basins would be freaking dead by morning.
And they're
famous. That's what it's going to take. I mean, they keep their people in squalor. They abscond with the money that is being given to them, giving to rebuild Gaza. Right? We heard that term. We got to rebuild Gaza. And what did they do? They built miles of tunnels. They use concrete, yep, air-conditioned tunnels to go into to Israel and terrorize the Israeli people. And you know, this is the stuff that needs to get out to show how destructive Hamas truly is. And unless the United Nations and unless the world takes their head out of their ass and demands that Hamas remove the annihilation of Israel from their charter, there will never be any peace between the Palestinians and Israel, because they are so bent on destroying Israel. And, you know, this is the dishonest campaign, you know, that they need to bring to the forefront. Hamas is destructive. Hamas are nothing but terrorists. And the Muslim Brotherhood and Hamas go hand in hand, and they're looking to destroy. Somebody wants to live in peace who can help them cultivate their land and their country so that their people don't have to live in squalor, but they would rather their people suffer in order to make a point. And while the Hamas leaders live in luxury and drive their Mercedes and they live on the Mediterranean Ocean in their beautiful condos, and they keep their people in shit.
Well, they keep voting in a terrorist organization. Hamas is a designated terrorist organization with the United States State Department, and they keep voting them in to lead them. They are supporters of Hamas, each and every one of them.
And we can't say we don't understand how it works, because the Democrat Party is the same way in America, so we understand that part of it. So go ahead.
This is the new report that just came out. And by the way, if anybody's interested, the best place right now is timesofisrael.com is carrying the best stuff. But it says Hamas spokesman says the terror group is suspending plans for a large-scale attack as Israel has withdrawn its forces from the Temple Mount compound. Hamas had given Israel until 2 a.m. to do so. It was the second ultimatum delivered by Hamas. After the first, they fired six rockets at Jerusalem, prompting a harsh response from the IDF. There is no immediate confirmation from Israel that police have left the compound or if it was in response to the Hamas demand. So, you know, bottom line is, I'll say it again, Hamas right now, first of all, we've never seen Hamas this visible with ultimatums and demands and stuff. I mean, sure, for years they shoot rockets into Israel. Israel comes over and bombs them for a bit, and then it all goes away. Or Egypt comes in and does some fake goddamn peace agreement, truce or whatever. But we've never seen Hamas this visible. We've never seen these public ultimatums. We've never seen this use of media before by Hamas like this. This stinks of the Biden State Department. Somebody in that State Department is sending this shit to Hamas. Okay, put this declaration out. Put this out. Because it's all about getting the Israelis out of the sensitive spots.
Mm-hmm.
Telling you, you heard it here first.
I agree. It does have the fingerprints of the State Department on there, and they've been wrong on everything going back to World War II. They screwed
it up. I mean, Times of Israel should have said, instead of a Hamas spokesman, they should have said a spokesman for the Biden State Department says the terror group is suspending plans. I mean, at least coming from the Times of Israel, it says the Hamas spokesman says the terror group. I love that. They actually call them a terror group.
Well, the story makes it sound like Israel capitulated and said, okay, well, we're going to leave now that we got threatened by Hamas. So it makes them look weak.
Yeah. And if you read in the article, it says there's no confirmation that police have left the compound. We don't even know if that happened.
That is clever propaganda. That is serious propaganda.
That's like CNN shit.
Mm-hmm. Coming out of
Hey guys, thanks for letting me call in.
All right, hey it was good talking to you.
All right,
you be well, Holger.
Adios,
Holger awakens. Had some good points, and he's right.
He's right. The State Department is totally screwed up. Has been forever. And now it's even gotten into the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA, because they continued a series of recruitment ads with two videos featuring a man who grew up gay in a small southern town and a blind employee who talks to the agency's push to, quote, create a more inclusive environment, close quote. The ads have been criticized for lacking any information about job qualifications or what the agency's various jobs entail. Growing up gay in a small southern town, I was lucky to have a wonderful and accepting family. I always struggled with the idea that I may not be able to discuss my personal life at work, a male CIA employee says in the ad, which was originally posted on April 8th but came to light last week. Quote, imagine my surprise when I was taking my oath at the CIA and I noticed a rainbow on then-director Brennan's lanyard, close quote. I remember being stunned. I remember being stunned. The man continues, adding that inclusion is a core value here at the CIA.
Yeah.
That is problematic.
You know, this is okay. This is problematic in many ways because you have the communists, the Marxist movement weaponizing the CIA, our covert security system, our military. You posted on Twitter, Pete Hegseth had done a video or a YouTube. Pete Hegseth of Fox News. And Pete had done a 10-minute segment on the U.S. military and the new, what is he called? He's called the senior advisor to the Secretary of Defense.
And this is about purging the anything Trump. And whether if you're a military man or a personnel who supported President Trump, you are now deemed a racist. End of story. You've got the new senior advisor to the Secretary of Defense, Bishop Garrison, who now calls each and every individual who supports President Trump. He's determined that President Trump is a racist. And if you support his beliefs, you're a racist and you're an extremist and you're a patriot extremist. And so now you've got the left-wing communists, the Marxist movement, redefining history and coming up with all these buzzwords. Pete Hegseth did a 10-minute video or 10-minute oration, and it was fantastic. I got it. It's 10 minutes and 54 seconds. It's very well, I mean, just short of having Pete Hegseth on and interviewing him, this is fantastic. And it exposes Bishop Garrison, who is nothing but a Marxist multiculturalist. And this is the cancer that now exists, whether it's the CIA, the FBI, or the United States military. And this man is the senior advisor to the Secretary of Defense. This is how dangerous dictator Joe Biden is in destroying our constitutional republic. And just listen for yourself, because a Hegseth lays it out really, really well.
Pete Hegseth tonight and for the remainder of the week. Every other network is obsessing over yesterday's news. Got it. Liz Cheney hates Trump, can't get over it, and is out of step with the GOP. The congresswoman from D.C., her time is up. Bye-bye. Maybe that's the story the Democrats and their friends in the media want us to be covering. The shiny object. Distraction is a very powerful device, and we fall for it often. What if I told you, instead, a far more sinister and dangerous effort is underway right under our noses right now at the Pentagon? Something I know a little bit about. I've been in the military for the better part of 2 decades. I was in the Army National Guard until last month. We all saw this coming, and now it's here. This is not just the woke military stuff you've been hearing about. This is not an extremism stand down or a social justice reading list or even a foolish CIA recruitment video we've all seen by now. This is worse. This is way worse. This, my friends, is a purge. A purge of the Defense Department, led by a new and now powerful radical leftist, a 1619 Project activist, a hardcore social justice Democrat, a man who believes all Trump supporters are racists and extremists. And what must we do to racists? We must define them, and then we must purge them. So who is the Pentagon's newly minted MAGA purge man? Well, meet Bishop Garrison, the new senior advisor to the Secretary of Defense. His portfolio is diversity, equity, and inclusion, but his purview is much wider. Never heard of him? Me neither. They like it that way. Bishop Garrison has been on the job at the Pentagon for 4 months now, hired in the wake of the events of January 6th, the ongoing and ultimate justification. They sent 25,000 troops to the Capitol, built a wall around it, and now the rest begins. According to an official Defense Department memo signed on April 9th, less than a month ago, by the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin himself, Bishop Garrison is now in charge of Countering Extremism Working Group. The group's first meeting was April 14th. They meet weekly. Maybe they met today. There is work to be done. The Pentagon's Countering Extremism Working Group, which is a top Defense Department priority, is immediately charged with the following. Get this. Revising the definition of prohibited extremist activities. Creating a reporting process for vets, soldiers who have left the force, to report extremist groups. So now we have a veteran spy network, essentially, and forming yet another commission to study extremist behavior in the military. There's more. This working group will also recommend changing the military justice system in order to address extremism. Good. Woke justice.
enhanced the military's insider threats programs to report concerning behaviors. This used to be for, say, foreign spies. I've done the training, but not anymore. We have new insider threats. Screening publicly available information on new recruits with continuous vetting to include algorithms into social media accounts. Better check your kid's phone if you want him or her to be a staff sergeant someday. Hope they didn't TikTok about Trump or call the election rigged. The recruiter will not tolerate that. And finally, they're going to update all training, especially on gray areas such as reading, following, or liking extremist material online. Catch all that? They're going to redefine extremism, empower veterans to surveil each other, reevaluate who the real insider threats are, screen the social media of new military recruits, and update all training materials. But the big question is, who's deciding what's extreme? Well, Bishop Garrison, of course, with the Secretary of Defense right behind him. Now, Bishop Garrison is a West Point grad, served two overseas tours, and holds two Bronze Stars for his service, and we sincerely thank him for that. But what does Bishop Garrison believe today as a civilian? Is he really radical? Maybe he's just another, you know, Hillary Clinton or Biden-Harris staffer, which he was. How do I put this? The White House just put the equivalent of Ibram X. Kendi, the author of How to Be an Anti-Racist, in charge of vetting the entire U.S. military, past, present, and future. A believer that our founding was in 1619 will now be vetting our armed services, a few of which go back to 1776. And since we're in the mood for vetting the military, let's check a few of Bishop Garrison's past tweets. And there are a lot of them. In July of 2019, for example, the Pentagon's brand new senior advisor sent these two tweets. Support for him, meaning Trump, a racist, is support for all his beliefs. Also tweeting, he's dragging a lot of bad actors, misogynists, extremists, and other racists out into the light, normalizing their actions. If you support the president, you support that. There is no room for nuance with this. There's no room for nuance. If you support the president, you support extremists and racists. You support all of his beliefs as we define them. Crystal clear. Bishop Garrison said far worse about Trump for years, but that's not the point. The scary part is what he believes about anyone who supports Trump. You are racist. You are an extremist. The equation is simple for Bishop Garrison. If you support Trump and supporting Trump makes you a racist and extreme, then in the world of Bishop Garrison, Trump supporters are de facto extremists. No nuance, no question, no quarter. You see, this isn't about white supremacy or white nationalism. Those views and tattoos have been banned in the military for a long time. If I had a white supremacist or racist in my infantry platoon, I could and would kick them out. I'd have the duty. But I didn't have to, because it wasn't an issue. I served with black, brown, and white soldiers. But in all honesty, all I ever saw was Army green. That's what the Army taught me. And that's how I led my men. But for Bishop Garrison, all he sees is red. MAGA red. But Pete, this is just a study to, you know, committee to study extremism, not political persuasion. Oh, really? Think again. It actually gets worse. In March of this year, a leaked 17-page DARPA presentation, DARPA is the Pentagon's research lab, marked unclassified, outlined extremism and insider threats to the DOD. The document is very startling and would be resource material for Bishop Garrison. It's a type of fertile DOD cultural soil he's standing on right now. Not only does this document assert that extremism is rampant in the military, but it suggests a new form of extremism I've never heard of in the military called patriot extremism. The document defines patriot extremism as this ideology holds that the U.S. government has become corrupt, has overstepped its constitutional boundaries, or is no longer capable of protecting the people against foreign threats. Wait, so thinking the U.S. government is corrupt, has overstepped its constitutional boundaries, and can't defeat foreign threats makes you an extremist? Those views are mainstream conservative thinking today. Those are dangerous, dangerous words. Or maybe that's the point. We're all radicals. May I refer you, DARPA, say, to the Declaration of Independence? The document goes on to name anarchists and racists as well, and uses this photo collage of extremist symbols. Many of these symbols are racist or anarchist. But come and take it? You see that flag in the upper left corner? That's about as common of a military phrase or tattoo or T-shirt as you're ever going to see on Private Murphy. In fact, I have two T-shirts of that at my house, not including this one that was a lighter take at the start of COVID-19. Don't take my toilet paper. But maybe we're missing it. Maybe it's not just about January 6th, not just about Trump. Maybe despite all the PC and woke curriculum taught to kids these days, the U.S. military today really is full of extremists and racists. Maybe I just missed it. Of course not. On April 20th of this year, less than a month ago, two of America's top generals, the head of U.S. Strategic Command and the head of U.S. Space Command, testified before the Senate Armed Services Committee. Both were asked if extremism is a problem in their ranks.
I am very confident that the number of extremists in my forces is zero. So if there are any extremists in my organization, one, they hide it very well, and two, it's just a matter of time until I get to them.
I would tell you right now that we have done everything that Secretary Austin has asked us to do in terms of training and awareness, but in my organization, I would say that number is zero. Throughout my career, I have not seen that, so I believe it's close to zero in my organization, if not zero.
Zero or close to zero, and if we find them, we'll get them. Not good enough. Who was dispatched to quickly dispel those foolish notions? You guessed it, Bishop Garrison.
We would be remiss if we didn't admit to the fact that there is a problem with extremist behavior within the military. That is to say that one extremist is one too many.
The purge is coming. They see their opening, they have the power, and they have their men in the right places. They say extremism is a huge problem. Their man says Trump supporters are extremists, full stop. So where does that leave Trump supporters, patriots, and conservatives in the military today? Vetted, closeted, or worse, kicked out. The left knows that the military is one of the last traditional, aggressive, value-based organizations in America, so they must dismantle it as well. It started under Obama, and now it's on hyperspeed. These truly are dangerous times.
Pete Hegseth nails it, Al. It started with Obama, now it's on hyperspeed. And don't forget what lengths the communists in government and the Department of Defense will go to stretch out their radical anti-American agenda. And the new phrase, as Pete outlined, patriot extremists. Now, imagine believing in America and the U.S. Constitution, the new politically correct, multicultural, cancerous Democrat communists create the term patriot extremists. It's just like the term climate change. It's a ruse. It's nothing but a sham. Thomas Jefferson, John Hancock, John Adams, they were patriot extremists. These brilliant men were some of the brilliant minds who crafted a great document that has led the United States of America, has guided this great nation for some 233-plus years. And now the communists are diverting attention and conditioning Americans into thinking this is now an extremist belief system. The U.S. Constitution starts off, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, providing for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America." This belief is now considered and labeled patriot extremists.
The bishop garrisons in current dictator Joe Biden government are dangerous. They are the anti-Americans. They are the anti-constitutionalists. They are dangerous. They're self-appointed revisionist historians. And dictator Joe Biden using the military for politically correct multicultural purposes to dismantle our republic. And it's sick. And Pete Hegseth nails it. It started with Obama, and now it's on hyperspeed with dictator Joe Biden for Obama's third term. It's disgusting.
Well, all I hear day in and day out is that we are systemically racist as a country. But how can that be when Lloyd Austin is the Secretary of Defense?
Black.
His senior advisor to the SecDef, Lloyd Austin, Bishop Garrison, who we've been talking about, is also black. So the appointment of Garrison, a black man, underscores the Biden administration's emphasis on diversity throughout the government. In January, President Biden signed an executive order reversing former President Donald Trump's ban on trans service members in the military. That's the kind of move Biden, Austin, and others have been promising. Now, during the confirmation hearings to be defense secretary, Lloyd Austin, now the first black Pentagon chief, told lawmakers of confirmed, quote, "I will fight hard to stamp out sexual assault, to rid our ranks of racists and extremists, and to create a climate where everyone fit and willing has the opportunity to serve this country with dignity."
That's now, what a purge. I know. What have people done over the last 230 years? They've served their country with dignity and distinction. And for these people to redefine, these radical anti-Americans to redefine the military, I'm sorry. You know what? We have a couple of patriots in our chat room right now. You know. Let's go ahead and redefine chief, okay? Chief, you know, you need to serve with distinction. You're telling me that a man who served in the United States Navy did not serve with distinction? I mean, I don't know, chief, but I'm sure you don't rise to the rank of a chief in the United States Navy if you're dumb or a racist. You know, this whole thing, Pete Hegseth is right. He nails it. These are dangerous times. And these multiculturalists, this Marxist movement is such a cancer on our republic, and it's why these frauds like Hillary Rotten Clinton, like dictator Joe Biden, like Barack Hussein Satoru Obama, that's why they constantly refer to America as a democracy, because they are so bent on dismantling our constitutional republic. They have such contempt for the United States Constitution. They don't like the preamble to the United States Constitution. They would rather you be subservient to the federal government. It empowers them. They are the bastions of truth and justice, and it's their way, not the American way. It is their way.
Yeah. Now we see this happening. It's very clear. It's laid out with facts and evidence. Probably what, 15 minutes of pure facts and evidence. So who benefits from an America where our Secretary of Defense is more concerned about inclusion and purging patriot extremists, whatever the hell that is, but purging patriots, and then he's got Bishop Garrison, the senior advisor, as his hatchet man. So this is to-go purging from the very top. This is going to weaken our secretary, it's going to weaken our defense.
Mm-hmm.
So who wins? Who does this help?
China. It helps our adversaries.
Exactly. And what are we seeing suddenly within the last 2 weeks?
Hey,
we're seeing Israel on fire.
Right.
We're seeing
Iranian ships. And China prancing
ships
around the world.
Yeah. We're seeing Iran attack our ships.
Yeah.
Our vessels, our military vessels, without fear. These are
Belly
symptoms. These are dots. Yeah.
Belly sent me some articles, and we were discussing this. China is going around the world and establishing bases in Eastern Africa and Western Africa, setting up bases that are closer to the United States, sending their military, their Navy, and their naval ships to certain bases by dumping a shitload of yuan into the African nations and then forcing their way into these ports. And they're gaining, you know, they're getting closer and closer to the United States. They're now on the Atlantic side of Africa. This is not by mistake. I mean, this whole pandemic, you know, what happened when the Chinese virus hit? It happened. What did it do? It extinguished the Hong Kong movement, the Hong Kong democracy movement. It extinguished it. And what happened? China moved into Hong Kong, and it took it by not by force, but all it had to do was impose a pandemic. And now the same thing is happening where you have neutered the world. Okay, the Western world, you have struck the economies at the very heart, so that it's disabled these economies, whether it's the European Union, the United States of America, Australia, New Zealand, and suddenly you've got China just moving in, just walking in and setting up shop, in some places taking over because they've thrown enough money at the situation because of the pandemic. You know, it was brilliant. What a brilliant campaign. And then you've got these frauds like the Furlough fraud in the White House, who was installed. And look at this. Look at the destruction that Biden is doing. Chief, Obama is just Biden his time until he can officially take over again. You don't have to worry about officially taking over, though, because he's got all of his people in place inside of the puppet Biden. And it's unbelievable what we're seeing and what we're witnessing. I mean, and this whole thing, Bishop Garrison, you know, Human Rights First did a piece on him, the Director of National Security Outreach, okay? Bishop Garrison is Human Rights First Chief Ambassador to the National Security Community. He leads Human Rights efforts to build partnerships with members of the military and national security communities. We don't need this politically correct garbage. The military is there to kill things, break things, and to bring peace. Okay, this is why we're still mired in Afghanistan when we went to the politically correct garbage. We should have walked into Afghanistan. We should have leveled it, knocked out all their poppy fields, okay, and then walked away. Let them rebuild it, okay? You attack America, we're going to hit you. We're not just going to punch you. We're going to take you out. We're going to annihilate you. 19 years later, we're still there. And to boot, when it was starting to pull out, okay, it's such a bad thing. It's a bad thing, and they were chastising Trump, and boom, they got him out. They got Trump out. And then what does Biden do? Well, we're going to be leaving Afghanistan. Oh, he's trying to end the war. Oh, excuse me. But when President Trump did it, that was extreme. Huh? 19 years were mired in Afghanistan when we should have been in there maybe 2 years at the most after 9/11, 2001. But hey, it was okay to run a politically correct campaign and look what it's gotten us. 19 years in that shithole. Now, either we go in and we do away with these terrorists, or we just leave. Why did we go in there in the first place? Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, and then you got another data point with the dark side hackers behind the Colonial Pipeline attack. And they appear to be a new collective, but its members are likely experienced veteran cyber criminals with links to communist Moscow. Reports on the spectrum of attribution from state-directed to tacit approval. So that's another front where you've got the Marxist now attack cyber criminals attacking our infrastructure. But luckily we have Mayor Pete Buttigieg on, since this involves transportation, he is on the case. So rest easy, America. The ransomware of our energy colonial pipeline actually getting shut down. Gas prices jump, and if we don't get this taken care of and figured out in the next 72 hours, we're going to see some serious disruption to our distribution of energy, fuel, and natural gas.
Yeah, Pete, you know, butt cheeks is not going to do much there. You know, this is what, 17 or 11 states. It starts in New Jersey. It spans from New Jersey to Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Tennessee, and Texas. It ends in Houston, Texas, or it goes from Houston, Texas to New Jersey. So it provides half of the oil consumption, 100 million barrels, 100 million barrels of oil to the eastern coast, the largest distribution to the east coast. And this the Farallow fraud, again, you know, we're supposed to believe that the election in 2020 was without any compromise, and yet we've got our one of the biggest pipelines being compromised by cyber attack. I just
And what it is ransomware. So what they do is they hold your system hostage. They take sensitive information off your computer because they hacked into it, and then they say, if you want control of your computer system, well, then you better put Bitcoin into this anonymous dark account somewhere on the dark web. So it's holding holding a federal agency hostage is what it's doing.
Yeah, they did it to Broward County School District, and the Broward County, they wanted an ungodly amount, $300 million or something, and I guess Broward County offered them $500,000, and they rejected it, so they did a data dump, and it did uncover some crap that some of the school board people were doing, or some of the school administration people were doing. So, hey, we got a call. You want to
make
it?
Maybe it's a good thing. Yeah, bring them on.
All right. All right, we got a couple of minutes. Say, hey, welcome to the Vito Cicito
Show. It's Hank, man. And, you know, we've talked about this today. Is anybody really buying that the probably a company that could spend how much on protecting their network? And we're going to really believe that ransomware got into their computer, that there was no insider placed by our anti-oil government? it's just hilarious. And then to hear what Al said, but Pete Buttigieg is on the case. That's sort of like when your ace pitcher, and I'm not talking about Major League Baseball, remember, I'm boycott, but your ace pitcher blows out his rotator cuff, and you send out your third base coach to address the problem. I mean,
that is a great analogy.
Buttigieg. Hey, Pete, guy. Hey, Buttigieg's on the case now. Nobody knows ransomware like Buttigieg.
Hey, he did ride an Amtrak train.
That's right. We got Mayor Pete Buttigieg in there.
No, he got ridden on an Amtrak train is what happened.
Well,
first
we had the Keystone Pipeline, and you know, Dictator Joe unilaterally cost America 33,000 jobs, and we have seen the cost of gas prices rise between 80 cents to a dollar a gallon. And of course, that also impacted Americans earning less than $400,000 a year, which also hit households pretty hard, especially the working poor. This whole thing with Dictator Joe, he's really done damage right here in the United States. We're watching the world on fire, and he's doing his damnedest to destroy, free enterprise, capitalism, and the United States of America. Okay.
Well, since he's anti-fossil fuel, he's not throwing gas on the fire. I'll give him that because that. but whatever he's throwing on it isn't helping. I mean, you know, here's this thing. We're also hearing, we're hearing like, oh, people aren't going back to work because they're getting unemployed. Wait a second. I thought, when Vito Incorporated fires Hank or lays Hank off, when Vito Incorporated reopens, if Hank doesn't take the job, then Hank is turning down the job, so Hank loses unemployment benefits. Has anybody not figured that? I mean, why are we hearing all these people aren't going back? If they're not going back to work, why are they still getting unemployment benefits if companies are reopening? What in the hell? I mean, I guess the good news is when it comes to dictate to Dopey Joe, at least he's screwing up on all levels. You know, I mean, he's equal he's messing up everywhere. I mean, he's leaving no screw up unturned, I guess.
He's an equal opportunity destroyer. So there you go.
Yep. Well, I'll let you guys get back to it. But when I heard what you were bringing up, and we talked about the pipeline today on the phone, so I had to chime in. So, but I'm glad to hear from Al. I'm glad to hear from Al that that Mayor Pete is on the case. So I'm feeling a little better about it now.
Rest easy, Hank. Rest easy.
We'll catch you guys later.
Hey, have a good right, little Hank. Bit about your show, real quick. Plug your show very quickly, if you don't mind.
Well, just every Wednesday, 5:30. This week, I'm going to talk a little bit about the Derby, not because I want to talk about Derby, but because what's happened after the Derby.
Ooh, yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see if Bob Baffert gets the hammer or not. You know, I mean, if it were a first time trainer and this happened. You know, I think we'd be seeing the jockey hung up by his toenails and everything. But here it's like, oh, Baffert is suspended. I mean, like they haven't pulled it. They're going to do another test on the horse. How do they? I mean, you know, just tell me it's not that they're not doing everything they can to cover for the guy. They're going to do everything they can.
Hey, he's a seven-time winner. Seven-time Derby winner. They got to protect him some way.
Yeah. Well, that's an asterisk in the uppercase, as they say. I mean, bold face and italic and whatever. I mean, holy crap. You know, and the thing is, Arkansas had just voted not to suspend him two weeks before that over something that happened a year ago.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Oops.
You know, I mean... Yeah, and of course we already know LaJuan, you know, he never stops. So we'll talk a little bit about him as well. So, but yeah, politics and sports. I mean, what could be better than those two colliding? And
there you go.
You know, maybe I'll take a knee before the show or something. I don't know.
All right, hey, have a
thanks,
good
guys.
One. Thanks for calling
you
in.
Guys, Frank, as always, awesome tonight. Talk to you all later.
Great call, you. Hank. Thanks.
That's Hank Jones. He is the host of Wednesday, Hank Jones and Polly Sports right here on Global Patriot Radio. Check him out at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. He does a good job, and he's had some really good guests. This guy knows his sports. He's a Big Ten wizard. I got to tell you, this guy knows names and dates, and I'm just really impressed. And he loves his Iowa Hawkeyes. So don't hold that against him.
No, I'll be tuning in Wednesday at 5:30 for sure.
Yeah,
Rachel. What's better, here, politics and sports, and where they intersect? Phenomenal.
Islam. Great.
LeBron James, you could do 5 hours on that piece of human flotsam.
Oh, jeez. I mean, talk about a guy who is just given a title that's gone to his head. And, you know, you just can't help but see these athletes, some of them being just ungrateful. And he can't hold Michael Jordan's jockstrap, in my opinion. You know what? He's a great basketball player. Loved his talents. Loved him when he was, you know, I love to watch the Heat when he was with Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade. Really good trio there. But, man, you know, I just can't get over the fact that here you've got these guys who sign on with Nike. Nike, you know, employs sweatshops in China, communist red China. There is nothing good about communist red China, maybe the Chinese food, and keeping their people in squalor, suppressing their people, suppressing free speech and individual liberties. And you live in a country that's afforded you the opportunity to for greatness, okay? Giving you an opportunity. And people of all colors, people of all spectrums have come and they watch you and they pay, you know, they buy tickets and they pay the overprices for all kinds of athletic wear. And you dump on them. And you dump on the very country that's given you this opportunity. And you're given this title of king. And, you know, it's gone to your head. And, you know, and then he goes out and he abuses that police officer. That's unconscionable what he did to that police officer who shot that girl with a knife. So here you would have had, you know, a couple of dead people because this lunatic with a knife decides she's going to stab somebody. And you jump the gun all because it was a white police officer. And it just goes to show what kind of a racist LaJuan James truly is. He's nothing but a racist. He's okay to take the white man's money. You know, we spent our money at, you know, buying tickets, buying souvenirs, buying athletic wear. And you know what? So at some point we took for granted about buying, you know, the athletic wear that was made in sweatshops in China. You know, and you're talking about America being oppressed? Give me a break. This is the pollution of progressive politics. It turns out ignoramuses like that, and ungrateful ignoramuses like that. I don't have
should
any
be in
love
jail.
That. Yeah, agreed. Hey, tomorrow night we've got Eric from Kafiristan with Radio Free Kafiristan. Wednesday we got Hank Jones. You just heard Hank with Poly Sports at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Thursday we got Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report. Check out Paul, great show as well. Friday, Dr. Andrew Harrod with Islam and Focus. He's on at, I think, 11 a.m. or I think at 11 a.m. Saturday, Minister Simon Dakduk and the beautiful Christy revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. You know, let me say something about Minister Dakduk. He goes around the United States. He drives around the United States, and he visits churches and that request him to speak. And he's bullied. He's bullied by Hamas Care, who does nothing but stalk him around the country and lies. And they are so Hamas Care is so threatened by Minister Usama Dakta because he speaks Arabic. He speaks the language. He understands that he knows the Quran front and back. He knows the Bible front and back. And he's a threat because he calls out Hamas Care for their lies. So listen to Usama Dakduk and the beautiful Christy revealing the truth about Islam. And then Sunday, Eric from Kafiristan's back with his interfaith dialogue. It's a great show. If you want to learn about Islam and Christianity, Eric does a fantastic job with his simulcast with the interfaith dialogue. It starts at 2 p.m. And then Al and I will be back next Monday evening at 6 p.m. Some other shows to check out. We've got Chief with the Simple Facts of Life. He's on Tuesday on Blog Talk Radio, 3 p.m. Pacific time, and that would be 6 p.m. Eastern time. If you do the math, that's 3 hours difference. So it's 3 p.m. Pacific time. And then, of course, we've got Annie, our great deplorable radio chick with Southern Sense Talk Radio, 1 p.m. Tuesdays and Fridays, her great sidekick, Curtis. And then on Wednesday on Spreaker.com, if you want a break from politics, and you want a break from politics, check out Simone Nicole's show on Spreaker, SPREAKER.com. Joshua does a great job. Great self-help stuff. You learn, you know, did you exercise, eat right, some great health tips, and you don't have to worry about politics. There is no politics on that show. Joshua has a little bit of an accent, so sometimes he's difficult to understand, and he plays some great music, too. But, yeah. Like us on Facebook, check us out on Twitter, Hash Brown G Patriot Radio, Hash Brown Mama Mia No Sharia. Al, any parting shots, sir?
Adios, amigos. See you next week.
Hey, thank you all for listening. Bigfoot, Golf Dogs, Hank Jones, Belly, Chief, Southern Sense Talk Radio, the Alaskan, and of course, Sue from New Mexico. Thank you, Sue, for joining us. I hope you're feeling better. And Al and I'll be back next Monday evening. Thank you all. Be safe out there. And exercise your individual liberties. Don't wear a mask if you don't want. And don't feel guilty. Bingo.
Perfect timing.
That's a Geiger counter down to the science.
I tell ya. That was a good show. That went fast.
Oh, it really did. I'll tell you, that clip with Peak Headset, I mean, Hegseth, he nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. I mean, wow. And we didn't get much into the cyber attack. That one we could have spent a little bit more time on. But that's a little bit disconcerting because of, you know, the effect of that, the Colonial Pipeline. So we've had the nixing of the Keystone Pipeline, and now the Colonial Pipeline has been impacted. And, you know, it's almost like it's a green, you know, a Green Deal wet dream to have these pipelines be interrupted so that it drives up the price of oil. And you know, yeah. It's already these high tax states of Maryland, of New Jersey, and now the people there are going to be penalized even more for for using, having the audacity to use oil, gasoline in their vehicles.
Mm-hmm. Like Hank said, he made the great point. That's some kind of coincidence.
Well, it is. You know, and here you have a situation where we were energy independent for 4 years. Okay, we worked to be energy independent. We were one of the number one producers in the world. So much so that the Russians and OPEC were absolutely quaking in their shoes. And now, with one stroke of the pen, dictator Joe Biden removed America from being energy independent, and now we're going to be reliant upon the very people that hate us. And it's okay that we're going to spend $5 a gallon at the pumps. Oh, but wait a minute. I thought that if you made less than $400,000 a year, your taxes weren't going to increase. And this is the fraud behind the Democrat Communist Party. This is how they rape, pillage, and plunder the middle class, the working poor. How about they rape, pillage, and plunder the American people? These are one destructive people. I mean, Biden is such a fraud. This whole thing, every day goes by, and you watch this frail old fraud, and he trips up, he can't speak, and doing destructive things, his administration doing things that are absolutely destructive to our constitutional republic, and it's sickening. It is sickening.
They're destroying our country one little bit at a time.
Oh, my gosh.
Like you said, 150 days, not even. Jeez.
Not even. A dollar a gallon more in gas. You've got food prices escalating. You've got the tensions around the world going out of control. You've got in Israel, you know, the violence escalating in Israel because the Hamas terrorists are now emboldened. You've weakened our defenses. You've got, you know, the Iranians, you know, going after Americans. You've got the Chinese roaming around the world with their navy and establishing bases in parts of the world that you would never, ever have thought of. And they're throwing money at African nations and African nations who have key ports, and the Chinese are infiltrating those areas. And it's 100 days. 100 days.
Yep, something's got to give. I don't know what.
I don't either.
I have no idea. I have no clue how to even put the brakes on this, because there's so many people involved, and it's all the way up to the Secretary of Defense. It's happening in our military, too.
Yeah. I mean, they're emasculating the military. That's the other part of it. You know, they've got the right people in there to systematically break down the military to the point where they're pussifying it. And you know, Obama tried it, and he was close. And I'll tell you, this is the reason why Trump was so despised, because Obama started this wrecking of America. Obama really had America on a dependency course, and that dependency was the American people depended upon the federal government, and that was America depended upon foreign sources for their energy and also for manufacturing. Trump comes in and wins and pulls the rug right out from underneath Hillary Rotten Clinton's feet, who was supposed to continue, and I'm sure she would have ramped up that effort. And it was interrupted. And it's almost like the powers to be decided that, man, we can't have this any longer. So now they found this furlough fraud who's the big man on campus, who you give him a title, give him a few words, so shut up, you know, because he'll spill the beans, and then just go on a massive road to destroy America and to break the backs of the American people. And we're watching everything up in flames right now. I mean, unemployment now is rampant with no incentive for the American people to go back to work. And then he sits there and he lies to the American people. Well, we don't see any evidence of this happening. You're giving people $300 a week extra in addition to the money that they're receiving. They're getting $30,000 a year sit on their asses. And so three states now, Texas, Florida, and I think South Dakota, is it, that all, or South Carolina, that pulled the plug on this $300 a week extension that was supposed to go to September. And you got to start looking for a job. And you drive down the street, and all you see is help wanted signs at gas stations, at restaurants, and McDonald's, and Burger King's. You see all these signs for help wanted, and they can't get people to work. Why? A friend of mine, in his store, he had 17 people that worked for him before the pandemic. Now they're starting to get busy again, and they were busy, but they want people to come. They wanted the people that were working for them to come back, and they won't come back. It's like, why? Because they're making too much money living off of the federal government handouts. So, I mean, and Biden is a bald-faced liar. He lied to the American people. I mean, this is the front man. This is the perfect front man to pull off this big fucking ruse that these bastards put in place. It's disgusting. It is disgusting. Oh, God. And then no one's talking about Chicago. 26 people were shot over Mother's Day weekend.
No kidding. People. I didn't know that.
Five fatally wounded. Five. And where's, again, Black Lives Matters. Where does it matter?
What was there? Was there some KKK person doing the shooting?
You know what? I might want to go on a – I'll go out on a limb and say no.
Again, oh, so it must have been black on black, gang shooting.
26 people. And this nonsense has been going on for how long now? And where's the outrage? And this mayor lightweight, she continues to, you know – what did they call for her head? Oh, my God. It's just...
I don't know. It's a lot to take in.
Yeah, I'll tell you, man. It's just... It is unbelievable. It was unbelievable. I never thought I'd see this, and I didn't want to believe it. You know, we saw the destruction that Obama did in the 8 years. We saw he was systematic. And Charles Krauthammer said it. Barack Obama is systematically dismantling our constitutional republic. He said it. And it set in, and you can see it. And then with the election of Trump, it's okay. All right, you know what? That's stopped. We had a man who believed in the United States of America and the American people. And then you see the effort that was put in place by the Obama team, including the FBI, to undermine this man and this presidency. Jerry Nadler put a mission statement together to undermine this president, and he had the help of Nancy Pelosi and the other Democrat communists to go in and destroy the man. And now we understand why. Because in the first 120 days of dictator Joe Biden, the damage he's done and the flames that have erupted around the world are easily attributed to dictator Joe Biden being being in the White House, being installed in the White House. I mean, his son, a crackhead scumbag druggie, gets a pass, and the story is spiked all to protect dictator Joe Biden and the Biden crime family.
Worse than that, he got a book deal and he got $50,000 to speak at Tulane University about his drug issues.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
So they reinvented the son of a bitch. And where the hell – and Rudy had the hard drives. Why – for the life of me, and I tell you, we talked about it last week a little bit, that when Rudy's house got busted, he had the hard drives on his desk, and he told the law enforcement office, hey, what about these two hard drives? These are from Hunter Biden's laptop. I think they're part of the what you're looking for. They said they didn't want to touch them. All right, well, why the hell hasn't the contents of that hard drive been released by someone, somewhere, somehow?
I don't know. That's a great question. That is a great question, Al.
Yeah, find some teenager, put it on the dark web if you have to, and then get it out there in general circulation. But it's not happening, and I can't for the life of me figure out why.
Yeah. Yeah. Why? Why? I mean, there's no way, shape, or form that Biden can be that much of a protected species. But if you expose Biden, do you find other members inside that snake? I mean, does it lead to, you know, other Washington insiders? I mean, are the tentacles, do they extend so far that if you get Biden, or if you expose Biden and you expose his crackhead son, suddenly the dominoes start to fall and people that you would not know or would not think were in that would be would be involved? I mean, I can't think of why else would they, why spike a story? I mean, yeah, and then you've got the willing media, including Twitter. They ban, you know, the New York Post, a 200-year-old newspaper, which is not a rag. I mean, this is what's amazing. You bring up a good point. It's truly amazing.
I have no clue what's wrong with our people. Especially with SecDef and Garrison going after patriots and our military.
Yeah.
They said, okay, that's the line. We're releasing this now. If they had any reason to hold it in the first place.
See, I agree right there. This is the time to release it. I mean, right now. But does it collapse the government? Could it cause a collapse? I mean, obviously, you know, we know there's four names involved in the Ukraine, and that was Hines, which is John Kerry's stepson, that Hunter Biden, which is the Biden crime family, Nancy Pelosi, her son Paul, and then you've got Mitt Romney's daughter. So, you know, all of these are the anti-Trumpers. They're all part of the system, and, you know, why isn't this exposed?
Great question. Who would know the answer, and who would say it?
I don't know. I would think that, you know, why doesn't Rudy, like you said, they've got to know somebody now more than ever. You're going after Rudy. You're going after me. I'm going to dump that hard drive with everything on it, and if the pictures are true, and it was Malika Obama that Hunter Biden was banging and snorting coke, I think you just put it out there.
Yeah.
It just goes to show how really much of a scumbag this whole system is. Our government is so corrupt. And maybe that's, you know, the words by in that Pete Hegseth going after patriots. You know, this all kind of makes sense then.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Crazy.
I don't know. It is crazy.
Something ain't
crazy
right.
Bad. No.
Crazy. Agree.
I don't know if we can. I don't know how much longer we can survive this as a republic. Something's got to give.
Agreed. Absolutely. I absolutely agree. I mean, it just goes to show that the Republicans are all part of the same party system. You have a few that step out of that box, but you know, isn't it time that they stand up and they stand up for themselves? You know, here we're being distracted again with what's her name? Cheney, Liz Cheney. And to me, that's a distraction. Okay, fine. You know, dump her. Who cares? You know, she made her bed. She can't go on and do things in a rogue manner. That's fine. But why are we continually – why is this a headline? Again, the media wants to define the Republican Party. The Democrats are bent on defining the Republican Party. And in the meantime, you know, the Democrat Party – what? They protect their own, and they've proven it. They protected, you know, incestuous Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, both anti-Semites who actually, you know, are vile individuals. And if there was any other Speaker of the House would have asked and demanded decorum from members of their own party, let alone the House of Representatives. And it's pretty sad what we're seeing today. Because it's their way or it's no way.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens next week.
Yeah. Yep, we will see.
All right, well, good show as always.
Good night, Sue. I hope you're feeling better, and please get better, for one. And I'll talk to you soon, all right?
All right. Talk to you later. Adios.
That's all, folks. Thank you for using Block Talk Radio. Goodbye.